As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for Thyme Tincture NT to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Thanks for joining us here on America Voice Radio for Herb Talk Live. It's all about empowerment. Magical Engineer Frank is ready. I'm ready. And first part of the show, we're going to be talking about Dr. Kiosk versus your human doctor. Oh, yeah, yes. Your AI versus the human doctor. We got some more information coming out of Israel. So we got that, and we got a quack report. But before we get into that, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees. I'm seeking the Lord's face. I'm minding the time because it grows short. And our devotional today is lifting our thanks and prayer up to the Lord for his sacrifice. We just came through a holy day, the Resurrection Sunday. Hope everybody had a safe and healthy holiday. And, the blood covers the sin. And there has to be a blood sacrifice to cover sin. And he shed that blood for us, and we can't forget how much we owe the Lord Jesus Christ. We owe him everything. He owes us nothing. So keep that in mind. Sequel or space, mind the time. It grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up in the quacker, Canada allows people now to request a medical suicide for autism. That's right. This is Calgary, Alberta, Canada. So they have a medical assistance in dying. It's a program there. Calgary judge recently issued a ruling that allows a 27-year-old woman identified as having autism to seek medical suicide. He lifted an injunction that her father was granted just a day before her assisted death suicide was scheduled to take place in her home. So Justice Colin Feasby of Calgary Court and the King's Bench, he acknowledged the profound grief that the woman's father would suffer when his daughter dies, but he felt that her autonomy was more important. Now, I think some places, I'm trying to think where it is, Germany, I think, they allow assisted suicide for depression, right? Depression. All right, last but not least in the quack report, medical science here. They accidentally created a six-legged mouse. Yep, they were trying to find something that will fight cancer. Highlights how serious gene editing is. This is what this does. So scientists accidentally created a mouse embryo with six legs and no genitals, revealing how changes in DNA can impact major development. Oh, yeah. So the team at the Gulbenkian Science Institute, Portugal, they're investigating how a particular protein works during the middle stages of embryo growth. Remember, I told you, protein are switches for your DNA. So embryos begin as just a bundle of usually cells, and as they develop, the cells specialize, and they begin to form different body parts, generally starting at your head, moving downward. Now, the scientists focused on the protein officially called transforming growth factor, a beta receptor 1. It's typically involved in the expression of your genes, basically helping genes to decide which ones they should activate, where they should be, deciding what cells they should become, and so forth. So, for example, a blood cell or a muscle cell or a nerve cell. So, yeah, the protein switches are pretty important. So in this study, researchers activated this protein switch called TGFBR1 in the mouse embryo halfway through the development of the mouse embryo to see how it affected the development of the spinal cord. Okay. And what they found was the embryo that did develop, it had extra limbs instead of genitals, and it had a number of its organs growing on the outside of its body. So it seems that without the specific protein, other genes kicked into action, telling the cells to grow into legs rather than into genitals, and it wasn't quite what the team expected. Oh, yeah. Playing around with God's creation, I'm sure you're going to get what you don't expect. And that wraps the quack report. Thank you, Frank. Okay, we're going to be talking about our Dr. Tios versus a human doctor. That's right, because this is what's going to be coming down to. People don't want to believe it, but hey, recently a medical hospital in Israel, they did a study comparing the reasoning of human physicians in comparing it to a chat box. Now, if you're not familiar with what a chat box is, it's a computer program that simulates human conversation and can be equipped with artificial intelligence. So there are more of these studies pitting medical professionals against the computer to see which performs the best. And when in the medical environment, I often refer to artificial intelligence as Dr. Kiosk. Mm-hmm. Well, let's look at the study. This is April 2024, Beth Israel Medical Center, used a ChatGPT-4 with artificial intelligence program that understood human-like text to see how it measured up against physician residents and attending physicians when processing medical data and arriving at a clinical reasoning. So this research did get published in the April 2024 Journal of the American Medical Association. And the assessment used is what is normally used to check the development standards of physicians. So reasoning scores are checking the viability of patient diagnosis. So how doctors arrive at a diagnosis is key to your treatment plan. So using 21 attending physicians and 18 resident physicians, residents are practicing, they're at a medical school and they're doing their residency, and they all worked on one of 20 clinical cases that comprised of four sequence states of diagnostic reasoning. Right. Frank said he's betting on the artificial intelligence does better. Okay, are you going to have a parley out of this there, Frank? But, okay, so they had 20 cases, but focused on the first one. And AI was giving the same... was given the same instructions as the physicians were. And eventually all 20 cases, they did run them all. But AI was giving the same instructions and the answers were scored. It's called the RIDEA, IDEA score, for their clinical reasoning test. Now the four states that were, they were judged on for the reasoning were triage, which is where they gather patient information on the problem. The other patient tells them what's wrong. They get vital signs. The second phase is system review, where they obtain maybe more information. Maybe they get medical records from their general practitioner, that kind of thing. Physical exam is the third phase, and then the last phase is diagnostic testing and imaging. So the report stated that the results showed that for diagnostic accuracy, that it was as follows. Artificial intelligence scored 10 out of 10. Attending physician scored 9 out of 10. And your resident physician scored 8 out of 10. So, Frank, you were right. Artificial intelligence was got a perfect score. However, the reasoning that artificial intelligence used to come up with their diagnosis was incorrect in more instances compared to the human resident physicians, who are the most inexperienced physicians. Therefore, at this juncture, medical science does not feel artificial intelligence is ready to replace human physicians due to the reasoning process. Now, notice that the industry of medicine is considering replacing your human physicians with the computer. Yeah. Yeah. People say, oh, it'll never happen. But that's what they're trying to do. So artificial intelligence is supposed to be a learning program. So how long will it be before artificial intelligence, AI, can outreason human doctors is a strong possibility. And with some, they're speculating within 10 years. 10 years or less. This is what the report says at Beth Israel Medical Center. They said, chatbot outperformed physicians in clinical diagnosis in head-to-head study, but in other instances, AI was just plain wrong significantly more often. End of quote. Yeah, so what'd you say, Frank? And did they say AI came up with the right answers, but they didn't like how it reasoned, how it got that answer? Basically, the reasoning was faulty, but they did come up with the correct diagnosis. So, I'm going to get into some of that in a minute here. This is from Dr. Adam Rodman. He's internal medicine investigator at the Department of Medicine at Beth Israel Medical Center. He says, it became clear very early on that the artificial intelligence model can make diagnosis, but anybody who practices medicine knows there's a lot more to medicine than that. There are multiple steps behind a diagnosis, and we wanted to evaluate if artificial intelligence is as good as human physicians at clinical reasoning. So those stages, you know, where they triage and they do physical exam and system review and all that stuff, it's possible artificial intelligence was running different tests and gathering different information compared to the other physicians. So it maybe didn't make sense totally what they were gathering. Now, this is from Dr. Rodman again. He said it was surprising. It was a surprising finding that artificial intelligence is capable of showing the equivalent or better reasoning than human physicians throughout the evolution of the clinical cases. So it's got promise. They can see. And physicians, you know, pretty arrogant. I've worked with physicians. And I don't think they see themselves being phased out. Well, and they want to integrate this technology ASAP because the goal that scientific medicine has for technology is to work towards integrating it into a large-scale clinical practice. Therefore, more testing is going to be done to further the role of your artificial intelligence in healthcare. And at the very least, AI can now, right now, it can be implemented to double-check behind physicians to reduce instances of misdiagnosis or human error. However, you know, some of the physicians are not accepting this as in their practice of medicine. Most likely artificial intelligence will be used in hospital settings at first. So some doctors are not cool with a computer telling them they're wrong, see. Now, it could be possible that insurance companies that possibly are handling malpractice insurance coverage could either make it a requirement that doctors allow artificial intelligence to check behind them or offer a lower premium to physicians who allow artificial intelligence to check behind them, you know, lower the claim rate, your risk rate, that kind of thing. Here's what Stephanie Gabriel, she's a resident at Beth Israel Medical Center. She says, further studies are needed to determine how artificial intelligence can best be integrated into clinical practice, but even now they could be useful as a checkpoint helping doctors make sure they didn't miss something, end of quote. Well, in this particular study in Israel, there was a bit of conflict of interest, okay? So this particular study had some funding from interests that may be served if artificial intelligence is used regularly in healthcare, and its importance is expanded. So that's what, you know, they're shooting for. For instance, funding was given by the Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation. This is an American foundation established by Intel co-founder Gordon Moore and Betty Moore. This foundation supports scientific discovery in patient care. Also, the Solira Health, they specialize in virtual care offerings, more, you know, technology, virtual visits and stuff. Walters Kluwer, it's a Dutch information service company involved also in the health industry market. Oakshore Publishing is involved in medical education and certifications. Massachusetts Medical Society is a nonprofit, but they're the owner of NEJM Healer. It's an innovative company regarding scientific use of scripts or programming in clinical training. And also the National Academy of Medicine Scholars and Diagnostic Excellence. It's a source of grant funding from Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation. So, but you know, the current use, now if we look at the artificial intelligence technology currently, it's already being used in some areas of healthcare, such as your record keeping. For instance, you know, I did report back in December 2022, that artificial intelligence was being used to predict pandemics. So artificial intelligence was once described as machine learning, and large data sets are scoured by the computer, and then they can forecast disease that will infect humans. So the data that they use to do that is weather patterns, animal disease carriers and their habits, their geographical range, viral, bacteria, and fungal evolution, human behavior, geography, host ecology, animal population density, human population density, cultural traditions, agricultural changes, deforestation, urbanization, diet for animal and human, as well as transmission set of air, water, food, and direct contact, livestock density, transportation like airports, trains, boats, as well as how past pandemics affect future pandemics, and also which pathogen vehicle is most lethal. So your artificial intelligence goes through all of that. And what AI is teaching scientists is that pandemics can break out in less populated areas. So a metropolis for disease to spread is not required. Here is a quote from Barbara Hahn. She's a disease ecologist at Carey Institute for Ecosystem Studies in New York. She says, "We expected the population reservoirs to be in areas where there are a lot of humans, but it seems that in areas where an average population of humans, it's enough to fit the pandemic profile," end of quote. So in rural America, we have fewer hospitals today. So if we compare how many U.S. hospitals were functioning in 1975 compared to 2022, we find we have 1,036 fewer hospitals in just a 50-year span. So therefore, if a serious contagion started in a small town America, it could spread faster before health authorities knew what they were dealing with. Even in the largest, most advanced hospitals in the United States, well, they have proven they're really not well equipped to handle a large-scale outbreak of any kind. So keep in mind, there are fewer candidates entering your medical schools, and the ones that do enter are gravitating towards the specialty practices in healthcare because it pays more. So we have fewer general practice physicians today. And as more general physicians reach retirement and are not replaced, these frontline positions will be few and far between. So we are usually, they're pretty much usually the ones that, you know, see ground zero outbreaks. You usually go to your regular doctor. You don't go to a specialist off the bat. So, but if science has its way, though, Dr. Kiosk will be your virtual general physician run by artificial intelligence. Now, will it be able to properly reason a diagnosis for an outbreak? Maybe. Yeah, if you haven't really realized, more countries are implementing programs that are merging their healthcare, their banking, and their social accounts. Canada, with assistance from the UK, is the latest country to link healthcare with social scores and banking. So how much control do we want to give Dr. Kiosk, right? Yeah. I mean, is he going to see you if he checks your bank account and you don't have any money? All right, so I just think it's time we all take back the power, because where we place our trust is real important. And currently, a majority of the world population, about 60%, places its trust with scientific medicine. They are going to trust Dr. Kiosk, and they will trust a program based on data instead of personal experience. So this is where modern medicine is headed. And the reason given will be to control costs and improve outcomes. Personally, if I needed a physician for, let's say, trauma, I would want a human with a conscience and a soul over hardware full of data sets. And how cold would it be for a computer program to pronounce you as deceased? Right? You're not looking into the eyes of a human being. You're looking at plastic. So outside of trauma, it is far better to avoid the need for our modern healthcare. And I use medicinal plants to help strengthen the body, remove toxins, boost immunity. And you can do so much with your medicinal herbs. And, you know, God promises that they are here for the service of man and the healing of the nation. That is the highest authority. And that promise is solid. So if you're interested in learning how you can empower yourself with medicinal plants, I would call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have a free catalog they can send you. See how powerful you can be. The number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., 828-469-5972. 828-469-5972, thepowerherbs.com. And you can save 25% with the Resurrection Sunday sale, still in full swing. If you have an order of $65 or more, use the coupon SUNDAY24. But you want to hurry, the sale will end this Friday on April the 5th, and restrictions apply. And if you're going to the website, definitely check out their pandemic kits. If you're worried about pandemics, you have tools. A lot of people don't realize, you know, there's herbs for Ebola, something really scary like Ebola. And scientific medicine has proven it. There's herbs for smallpox. Quickly gets rid of smallpox. I astonished the scientists when they tested pitcher's plant, when they tested gentian root, when they tested thyme. Thyme is going to help you with tuberculosis. So with cases of tuberculosis going up because of immigration issues, you may want to have some of that on hand. So thepowerherbs.com, give them a call at 866-229-3663. And for those of you that are craving information, there's a couple ways that you can get it off the website. You can sign up for their free online newsletters that are emailed each week. American Survival goes out on Tuesday. Health Quest goes out on Friday. You just go to the powerherbs.com website, click on books and newsletters, and sign up there. For those of you that don't want anything emailed to you, they did start a nice informational blog. So on the homepage, look for that across the top next to Home and About Us. You'll see blog. Click on that, and there's lots of information, informational articles there. They'll have things like an herb profile. They'll have, you know, scientific reviews you can look at on different things. So you can get informed. You can be a savvy consumer and be educated in when you have discussions. If you want to have a discussion with your medical provider, you can sound intelligent because, you know, you have this information and it's provided absolutely free. So the newsletters are free and, of course, the blog is free. So check that out, thepowerherbs.com, and be empowered. And for those of you who have written in, emailed, or called and thanked us for the information, that's very helpful for them. We appreciate that feedback. Definitely, if you have some feedback, you can also email us at support2@thepowerherbs.com. And if you have something you'd like us to share with everyone, then let us know, and we can encourage others by sharing your post. So thepowerherbs.com. And that's Apothecary Herbs. Oh, and if you're looking for a lot of our information that's on Rumble, it's under the Empowering Apothecary. It's also on Pinterest, too. So if you're on Pinterest, you can find us under the Empowering Apothecary. Yep, and it's all about empowerment, right? All right, so we, I see by the clock, we're going to take a little break. But when we come back, more empowering information. So don't go anywhere. Be right back.
Life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life, and you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm Herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
007, your assignment is to find out what herb secrets herbalist Wendy Wilson has on Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Thank you, Frank. Alrighty, we are back, and we're going to be talking about how we can reset some of our detox mechanisms, because some of them can get really slow and clogged and bogged down, and then you can get inflammation in the body because your toxicity starts to accumulate, and you can get all kinds of things like autoimmune responses and really bad outcomes. So we're going to be talking about how we can reset our detox mechanisms. Because everyone has a body that can naturally purify or cleanse itself. So this is called detoxification, or it's also known as, in the medical field, as depuration. So it's really not uncommon for our purification mechanisms to become a little bogged down or clogged up when we're trying to handle multiple levels of toxins. So this can expose us to the human body to some dangerous levels of toxins, which can cause disease and weaken us in our most vulnerable areas. So which areas of the body are going to be the weakest? Well, it really will depend on your own physical constitution, your heredity, your DNA, your lifestyle. So you and I don't have the luxury of selecting our parents or controlling our gene pool. However, we do have control over the lifestyle and doing whatever it takes to assist our body to cleanse itself. So we're going to talk about this kind of a little bit of a balancing act, because trying to achieve the very best health that we can often have, it seems like a little bit of a walk across a high wire at the circus. Sometimes it's a bit perplexing, a little precarious, some scariness going on, and some people say it's too much work. But we strive to help our system to balance, which our bodies must do in order to function properly, normally, and for us to stay in our optimum health. So we all have this biochemical activity in genetic differences. So the differences will play a role in determining how the body will react to toxins and how fast it can detoxify itself. Therefore, nearly everyone will benefit from well-executed detoxification programs that will assist them. So there are these studies. I call them the human canary studies. This is the Board of Environmental Studies and Toxicology at the National Academy of Sciences. They conducted a workshop for medical experts around 1987, and they concluded that at least 15% of the U.S. population has sensitivities to household chemicals. And later, the University of Arizona did, under the direction of Dr. Iris Bell, they found that in 1993, 17% of individuals of various ages become ill when they're exposed to these chemical pesticides, or vehicle exhaust, paint, new carpet, or perfume. So studies such as these show the percentages of the population that are what I call the human canaries in the coal mine in our society. We should not ignore this. Statistics shouldn't be ignored. So we are going to be more sensitive to pollen and, you know, spring pathogens and stuff when we have a toxicity buildup. And if we've got food sensitivities, a lot of times food sensitivities aid in the toxicity buildup. So if you're really sensitive to pollen this time of year with the trees and everything, buddy, and you're dousing yourself with eye drops for sticky allergy eyes or all over the counter antihistamine stuff, well, it's time for a lifestyle change, really. Get some food sensitivity testing to see what foods you need to eliminate, and you can walk through a field of flowers during spring and not sneeze. Yeah. All right, let's talk about your body signals, because our bodies send us signals, and we should not ignore even the most subtle signals. So we don't really have to become hypochondriacs. It's not what I'm saying. We just need to be aware of what our body can demonstrate and show us symptoms, letting us know there's a risk. So if you drive a vehicle, you will at some point encounter maybe a service engine light come on. And sometimes this is really nothing, and sometimes it's a major problem. So you don't want to ignore the signal. So you get a car diagnosed, you could take your vehicle in just to be sure. And the same thing applies to your body giving you signals. Always check it out and determine if the problem needs, you know, addressing right away. So the human body has these symptoms, which if it's not from an injury, these signals are going to be from toxic levels that are too high. So if you don't address them, disease can be the result. Some signals our bodies send indicate that it cannot withstand the stressors of these toxins, and detoxification is readily needed. Chronic respiratory problems is an example. Asthma, sinus infections that are chronic, abnormal body odor, bad breath, a coated tongue, frequent headaches, back or joint pain, arthritis, food allergies, environmental allergies, poor memory, mental confusion, insomnia, depression, chronic fatigue, irritability, brittle nails or hair, psoriasis, acne, or weight problems. So this is the body telling us something, rebelling against the issue. And a lot of times when you have a lot of toxic buildup, the body will push it out through the skin. That's what acne is. That's what eczema and psoriasis are. Typically, eczema and psoriasis is a food allergy. I find acne tends to be more of a bowel congestion. Not just saying constipation. I'm talking about toxins in the bowel, too many of them. All right, let's talk about your physical environmental and emotional states. These are also important because most toxins come from situations of physical, environmental, or emotional stress. So these stressors hinder our body from detoxifying. So many experts feel that even if we remove the environmental pollutants, the pesticides, the herbicides, the chlorine in the water, and ate whole foods, organic stuff, we would still need to detox because the body manufactures what they call metabolic byproducts, and the internal toxins will remain. So it is recommended that if you suffer, let's say, from minor health problems, it tends to be an indicator the body is still struggling and experiencing toxic overload. Let's talk about toxic to balance areas of the body, if they're, you mean to detox if they're too toxic. So our sophisticated bodies have the ability, they have a lot of mechanisms designed to work in harmony during normal function. So we're going to take a look at some of these areas that can suffer a disruption, making the body produce its own toxins and hinder the removal of internal toxins even more, as well as your environmental. So let's look at biochemically. We have hundreds of reactions, and an example is your pH balance. So without proper pH balance, the exit route for toxins can become a problem, can get blocked. Electricity in your body is needed to balance your heart and brain function. Exposure to electrical equipment can disrupt that balance. How about energetically, our bodies release organic molecules and provide energy to the cells. So when toxins are present, an imbalance could occur, making it extremely difficult for the body to function and maintain the energy level and normal body temperature. So even if you have fevers that come and go, that may be, you know, energetically an issue. Emotionally is also on the list, because we can't escape the need to accept and give love, as well as to express our emotions like gladness, joy, anger, grief, anxiety. We have to keep everything in check and balanced. So our emotional channel must remain unobstructed, or chemical toxins are produced by our metabolism, causing psychological and physical illness. And by the way, you know, our emotions are expressed chemically in our system. So here's an example. They did an analysis of tears, okay? So they analyzed tears from people crying when they were laughing too hard. They took samples of tears when people were injured and they hurt, okay? They took tears from people that were in grief, loss of a loved one. So they took these tears, all these different examples. They even took tears when, you know, something blew in your eye and your eye's watering. They took tears from that too. And they found that they were all chemically different. Yeah. All of them were different. None of them were the same. So we're a very sophisticated package as human beings. You know, God did some really amazing creating. Now, let's look at allergies here. So we can have an imbalance setting off our immune system to create antibodies, inflammation, this chemical chain reaction in an attempt to protect us and heal our body. So histamines are usually released. And what do people grab? Antihistamines. Well, what's the part of the body that uses the most histamines? People may say their sinuses, their nose, well, it's your brain, actually. So if you take antihistamines, this is when you kind of feel a little foggy-headed. Yeah. So like people that are taking anti-cholesterol, your brain uses the most cholesterol, and they feel like they have memory problems. All right. Now, enzymes are also on the list. Biochemical responses are dependent on balanced enzymes. So a deficiency or overabundance of enzymes causes a reaction delay that can affect the efficiency of an entire system. So our detoxification functions in the human body are enzyme controlled. Harmony. We got to have a harmony. It's like, think of your body as a symphony of all these instruments and all these musicians, and they all have to play their section of, let's say it's an opera, and it has to be on time, and it has to be on key. So it's sort of like a symphony. Everything's, you know, in harmony and orchestrated. So it's got to be balanced. So our metabolism, our circulation, our electrolytes, our reproduction areas, they can't function without balanced hormones and having harmony. So our hormones also affect how we adequately handle stress. And microbiology's in here too. We have to have balance there. Without balance, our bodies can't prevent the overgrowth of pathogenic organisms like viruses, putting our immune system and digestive tract at risk. And then environmentally, we must feel and be safe in our environment to avoid excessive stress to the body. And by the way, long-term stress or chronic consistent stress, very bad. Very bad. If you're on yellow or red alert majority of the time for years, you're going to have an imbalance down the road. You will, I wouldn't say crash and burn, but you're going to be in a serious world of hurt, especially with your adrenal glands and your kidneys and your liver and your brain. Spiritually, we're connected that way too. So we also have to balance our spirituality because our belief directly affects health. Sciences, you know, had studies on this and they can't explain it. You know, stuff like, when people are very connected with God, they heal faster or they get over illnesses better, especially people praying for them, that kind of thing. Science can't explain it. It's one of those spiritual things. So scientific studies have been conducted especially in lab and in hospital settings, trying to identify a person's faith, how it directly affects recovery time and overall health. They just know people that are religious do better. So all of these systems have to maintain individual balance and cohesiveness and balance between each other. So the slightest imbalance in one area will also affect another. So the bigger the imbalance in one area, the bigger the impact to an adjacent system, and the longer it will take to restore the balance. So if you are one of these people that, you know, drives around with your service engine light on for a long time, and some people just put a piece of black tape over it, they don't even see it. Your engine has a sensor in it, and if it resets, fine, but sometimes it won't. Just don't practice the same behavior then with your body signals. If you think you have a problem. And if you go to your general practitioner and you don't feel like you've got a resolution to what you think is wrong, this is what second and third opinions are for, but more importantly, you may even want to get a naturopath, because I love naturopaths. They look at the whole system. Everything works together. They realize that. It's not just a specialty. So, sometimes you may have to switch to a naturopathic type of physician. I'm not talking about integrative medicine physicians. No, no, no. I'm talking about naturopaths that are licensed. They can order lab work, and chemically they can see what's going on, and physically they can see what's going on, and they have an arsenal of tools that they can use, from herbal to homeopathic to Chinese medicine. They have a lot of things. They have Rife machines, frequency therapies. They have all kinds of things they can use. All right, so you got some benefits to detoxing. So we can spend a couple of days actually listing some of the benefits that the body experiences when you go through removing toxins from the system, because you got an overload situation there. It lifts stress off the system when you do a detox. So there are a few major areas that you can expect to improve: digestion, sinus congestion, normal blood pressure, improved memory, mental clarity, stronger immune system function, balanced emotions and hormonal functions that can stabilize. It'll improve energy level, and sleep, concentration, and a lot of your chronic illnesses can actually just go away. They resolve. I once knew of a gentleman who was quite depressed, been to all the doctors. He just wanted to go home, make out his will, and go to sleep and never wake up. So his family, out of desperation, took him to a natural healer. And the natural healer, you know, after talking to the man, you know, said, okay, let's do a detox. You know, I mean, what's the worst that can happen? nothing. And, you know, you just wasted your time. But, you know, I think doing a detox is going to help you. So he talked to the family because he was going to need the family's help. First thing you're going to do is a bowel cleanse, he said. And you're going to open up that elimination channel, see, because a lot of times when you have a congested bowel, it affects the mind and depression. So they got him to do a detox, and he felt better. And so he went through the kidney bladder and the liver and the gallbladder, and he was going through these cleanses, but he kept asking the family and his doctor for another bowel cleanse because he felt so great doing the bowel cleanse. So I think he did three bowel cleanses, and his depression went away. He actually returned back to work. He was on disability, and he went back to work. And, Frank, you'll never believe what his occupation was. He was a dentist. He was in the medical field. So, yeah, depression can be from a congested bowel. So it's kind of a health adventure. Think of it as a health quest. You're on a trek, and it's quite empowering. Really, when you find things that really help you out, make you feel great, don't cost a lot of money, they're all natural and organic, and you can do them. You don't need, you know, insurance. You don't need prescriptions. You got it. You got this is the point. So if you're interested in looking into your cleanses, you want to do them in the proper order, and the folks at Apothecary Herbs can instruct you, educate you on the proper order. So you always start with your bowel cleanse. They do have prostate cleanses and kidney, bladder, liver, gallbladder, blood system cleanses. They have also some step-down cleanses. So, for instance, if you don't think you have gallstones when you want to cleanse the gallbladder, you can do a gentler step-down cleanse. It's not designed to remove stones. And people go, you can remove gallstones? Yeah, you can remove gallstones. There's a way to do that. But, you know, there are instructions to follow. So you got to follow the instructions. So they got information about that. If you're curious, you can check that out. They do have a free product catalog. And when you get your catalog, all your under your organ cleansing section, all the cleanses are in order in which you would do them. So you have some structure and some instruction on how to do it. And it's important to work with your system and how it naturally detoxes so that you have success, basically. Yeah, success that you're cleansing. And, you know, you're going to get to such a point. All my kids, you know, grew up with herbs, but they're at the point, you know, they know exactly what herb they need for whatever comes up. So you're going to be like that too. And that's powerful information that you can utilize. All right, so we've got a few minutes. In a few minutes, we're going to talk about something called Quicksilver. So the average person would have to be the age 40 or 50 to know what the term Quicksilver means. One person thought it was the name of the Lone Ranger's horse, but no. Generation X, that's not close enough. Besides, Quicksilver, you think like... you know, the horse is fast. That's why they were thinking it was, you know, it was Lone Ranger's horse. But getting down to the silver billets of things, no pun intended, Quicksilver is just another name for mercury and being treated with mercury. Quicksilver actually was used a few hundred years ago, and it was in the ancient world of Babylon even, but unfortunately, it's still being used today. People go, no, it's not. Hang on. So who thinks up the word and the world, the weird treatments that humanity has experienced through the ages? You know, well, if you trace down the origins of Quicksilver treatment, you go back way back to 600 AD, and one of my previous articles that I wrote, it was about the Arabs, were the first to introduce clinical medicine and the first to have drugstores in the 9th century. And prior to that, the Arabs were also busy protecting alchemy from Babylon. That was the form of mystical medical treatment. So the Arab nations introduced alchemy, a composition of chemistry and a strange philosophy. And in Europe, with the promise of penetrating the very deepest secrets of nature, They dug up pretty much Pandora's box there. So the truth beneath the alchemist veil is pretty much spiritual. They did dabble in chemicals and metals and sorcery. It doesn't take much to notice alchemy was used in a quite twisted philosophy. They believed that wisdom was locked inside a stone and that the term philosopher's stone came from there. They also claimed to make gold out of common metal elements. And before the average person could say, giddy up, a little silver away, by the 13th century, there was a heady new science in Europe, also by the Arabs. With 600 years of chemical techniques behind them, the Arab alchemists were considered light years ahead of the European counterparts. Arab chemists and alchemists were able to influence medicine using metal compounds, which were easily assimilated by the body, according to them, and how mercury was on the list. They said your body can assimilate that. It wasn't a big surprise. I was having a conversation with a doctor who came out of medicine, was doing more natural stuff, and who was a former surgeon, pediatric surgeon, Dr. Carley. And we were having this conversation because we got on the topic of vaccinations, and then I brought up alchemy. And she had the standard answer, well, nobody does that anymore. That's ancient stuff. That's, you know, that's voodoo stuff and whatever. And I'm like, well, what do you call mercury in vaccines then? There was silence. And she said, I've never thought of it that way. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, they're still doing bloodletting, but with a diuretic pill. It's just not as messy. Taking fluid out of the blood system, lower blood pressure. That's what bloodletting was. So, I mean, we still have some ancient forms of medicine in modern medicine today. Ear tubes. The Egyptians invented those for ear infections. Yeah, wasn't modern medicine. So basically, alchemy is still in practice. Just keep that in alchemy. According to Dr. Ott, he traced it all the way back to Babylon, and it was a type of medicine that the sorcerers practiced. And this is where your Circassia symbol comes from, modern medicine with the staff and the snake. It was a sorcerer's symbol. So our modern medicine's roots are in sorcery. And the word pharmacy stems from pharmakia, and that's translated into witchcraft. That's what it means, ancient Babylon. So be aware and research your treatments very carefully, very carefully. Be well out there. So I'm out of time. Don't forget the folks at Apothecary Herbs have a big sale on that runs through the 5th this Friday. Save 25% so you can pick up your cleanses, your allergy stuff, and whatever else you need, pandemic kits, whatever, and save some money. Details are on the homepage, or give them a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.